Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman here. We thank you for joining us on AFR. On Tuesday and Thursday, November the 21st, 2019, Brent Creeley, our producer. Thank you, Brent, for putting the dates back on our shows, our prep sheet, so that I can know what day it is. Walker Wildman's with us. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
Also, Chris Woodward's in studio, filling in for Fred Jackson. But you are your own man.
I try to be. I'm glad it's not Tuesday. That would mean we'd have three more days of impeachment hearings.
Yeah.
Although noted. I do appreciate you paying me to monitor those
duly
and
noted.
Know you what people say.
And Ray Pritchard is on with us from Kansas City, Kansas. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing today?
Doing well. The weather in Kansas City is what today?
Oh, it's a mess.
Is it really?
Yeah, we've had three or four really good days, but boy, some winter weather has been. You know, we're not down under freezing, but we're kind of close. And I think it's moving past us into the Midwest. So it's the beginning of the messy season of the year, you know.
I'd rather be freezing precipitation than 34 and raining.
It's just cold and messy and kind of ugly. Let's go down to 26 and just freeze everything.
Just freeze it or get us some snow or something. But
that's right,
not
please.
Not this stuff that freezes on you when it hits your neck. All right. A lot to talk about today. Some various and sundry different topics that we're going to be discussing. Jan Markell will be with us a little bit later on in the program. Chris, what are you leading off with today?
Well, this situation with Chick-fil-A is fresh on everybody's mind. A lot of people are still talking about it. And, of course, for those that are not aware of what we're about to begin discussing, Chick-fil-A, it was announced, a couple of days ago, they were changing their philanthropic structure. They were going to start focusing on education, homelessness, and hunger, and they were going to start accompanying or working with one specific charity to target each situation. What has been reported, stated, shared many times, various news outlets and social media sites and things of that sort, is that Chick-fil-A is not going to, at least for now, give money to the Salvation Army and the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and some other organizations. And, of course, it was those ministries, the Salvation Army and FCA, that a lot of LGBT activists and organizations have taken up issue with Chick-fil-A for because they've donated them money. Well, when Chick-fil-A announced or stated we're not going to give certain groups money anymore, at least for right now, we're going to change the way we're doing this, a lot of people were concerned that Chick-fil-A has, quote-unquote, caved on the issue. This morning, the reason why I'm bringing this into the show is that Franklin Graham—
Well, I'm one of them.
Yeah.
Pardon
my phone?
Yeah. Hold on a second. They did cave.
Their press release states—
Yeah. Right, Ray?
Well, yeah. I mean, everybody.
How else do you say it? I mean, I love Chick-fil-A and the company's history. Great people work for them. Excellent food, excellent service. All that is true. Go ahead, Ray. Finish. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Well, and we love and admire the Cathy family and what they've
absolutely.
Done. And that's part of the issue. They have been historically very strong for the gospel. And when they needed our help 7 years ago, Christians by the millions supported them to help them out. And really, they took the hit back then, and they've just been, I don't know if they're the most profitable fast food chain, but they got to be up near the top. And then this comes out of apparently nowhere for them to reverse their policy and basically say, if you stand for— the implication certainly is if you stand for traditional marriage, one man and one woman, we are not going to fund your organizations anymore, which is a shocking change of their position.
Yeah, you're right, Ray. The press, some people are confused about this, and some people are saying, well, they didn't necessarily. The press release that Chick-fil-A's chief operating officer and president the press release that he put out with his name on the bottom of it specifically said Chick-fil-A is no longer giving to the Salvation Army and the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Our agreements with them have expired, and we're shifting our money to other groups.
They wanted the world to know.
Yes, and then they listed out the two or three groups where they're now donating their philanthropic money to.
And so they're pro-LGBT groups.
Some of them are in their doctrinal.
Like the Covenant. They name them. Yes. We're not giving to the Salvation Army. I'm not quoting that, folks. I'm paraphrasing, but this is what Walker's referring to, basically. So the Chick-fil-A CEO, COO or whatever it is, mm-hmm. Chief Operating Officer, said, we're not giving money to the Salvation Army anymore. We're going to give money to the Covenant Kids. Mm-hmm. Isn't that what
Covenant
they call
House?
Covenant House. Mm-hmm. A Salvation Army promotes traditional morality according to the Bible. That is, homosexuality is a sin. The Covenant House is pro-LGBT.
Right.
So what I'm saying, they made a clear move because they wanted not to be identified with hate groups anymore, like the Salvation Army and like the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. That's what the LGBT crowd would call those groups. They'd call them hate groups, basically. Mm-hmm. So... Mm-hmm. They got a lot of. Ray, did you finish your thought? I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Tim. Okay. You're right on.
So anyway, that's where we are, and it's been very painful. It's like a divorce here for a lot of people. They're going, I don't, I love my Chick-fil-A, and the franchise owners are wonderful people. They do a lot of great work in their various communities, and I'm sure that will continue on. And it appears they had no say at all in Chick-fil-A doing this. I've gotten the opinion from a couple of folks that I don't even know if Chick-fil-A corporate told their franchise owners what was going to happen here. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if that happened.
That leads us to this story,
right,
Chris.
The reason I brought this in to the start of the show today is that Franklin Graham went to Facebook and posted this. He says, quote, I picked up the phone and called Dan Cathy. That's the son of founder Truett Cathy. Dan was very clear that they have not bowed down to anyone's demands, including the LGBTQ community. They will continue to support whoever they want to support. They haven't changed who they are or what they believe. Chick-fil-A remains committed to Christian values. Dan Cathy assured me that this isn't going to change. And Franklin goes on to say, and I quote, I hope all those who jump to the wrong conclusion about them read this. And this has been shared a lot. I brought it in to share it with you guys on the show.
Well, Franklin's wrong about this, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I love Franklin Graham, but this must be his friend. And I appreciate him calling Dan Cathy. We've called Chick-fil-A three or four times and got no response at all.
Several of us.
Crickets.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
We would have been glad to have Dan Cathy on the show.
Yeah, or any representative from Chick-fil-A Atlanta to talk to us.
Well, you know, the other side of it, Tim, is if everything Franklin Graham says is true, and we're good friends with Franklin, right?
Franklin Graham is 5 stars out of 5.
That's exactly right. We love Franklin and the ministry and Operation Christmas. I mean, folks, you know that.
Yeah.
So this is not between us and Franklin. But when he says that about Dan Cathy, I think the rest of us go this way. Look, we didn't start this issue at all. It started with that press release and stuff coming out from Chick-fil-A. If Franklin is accurately depicting what Dan Cathy says, there's a real easy way to demonstrate that. Mr. Cathy needs to call a press conference and just say out loud what Franklin says he really believes. If that's true, I mean, don't you guys agree?
Yes, Dan that's Cathy very easy to do.
Yeah,
he could
You're
end
right.
this controversy this morning if he wanted to.
This puts Dan Cathy on the spot because if he told Franklin Graham what he did, and I'm sure Franklin Graham is truthful about this, about what Dan Cathy told him, then Dan Cathy would have no problem saying this out loud, as you say, at a press conference, because this is a public relations nightmare right now for Chick-fil-A. Whether it affects their business, I don't know. I kind of doubt it in the long run because they're too good a food run operation, food business.
Right.
I mean, they're great, so they'll – but there'll be a lot of people who second guess going, at least for a while. But I will say this: if Dan Cathy doesn't come out and do what you're talking about, Ray, then what they're then what he's saying is I want to have it both ways.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to
that
have
does
a,
not work. The other side isn't going to let them have it both ways, right?
Go ahead, Walker.
Yeah, you can't put out this confusing press release.
Right.
Well, it was actually very specific, but to some people it was confusing as to what they were actually saying. They put out this random press release about how they're shifting who they give money to or changing who they give money to.
And now he wants to say we're not.
Right, but 6 days go by of media headline after media headline, interview after interview, where we're all discussing the issue and we're all going, I wonder what this means. And Chick-fil-A is, there's crickets.
Yeah.
And then you want to call Franklin Graham and then do
well, Franklin Graham had to call him.
Well, yeah, but you tell Franklin Graham privately that no, we're not doing this. Why doesn't Chick-fil-A come out the day after this is causing apparent confusion and correct the record? But it's crickets. So this is all on Chick-fil-A. They could have cleaned this up on day
one. Right.
Yeah. Well, Tim used the phrase public relations nightmare. And just to give you guys a timeline of how this has been covered in the newsroom, on Monday, Steve Jordahl had come over here to give Fred a piece of paper. It was Fred and Ed that were doing the show. Steve runs back over there and tells me about the situation, and both Steve and I start working on the story, trying to make calls and whatnot. I call Chick-fil-A's corporate office, and a lady takes down my information. She asks me who I work for. I made sure it said American Family Radio News. They know who we are. And she said, I'll have somebody call you back. Well, some guy calls me back, and this is the reason I'm about to share the story. Some guy calls me back, but he says, I'm not the spokesman. I don't want to give you anything on the record, but I'm going to tell you this and this. And he went on to basically say, we're not caving. That was the actual word that he used. The reason I bring this up is because Todd Starnes mentioned a similar situation yesterday on his radio show, and Todd said after I posted a couple of things on my website, I got a phone call from what Todd described as a high-ranking or high-level executive with Chick-fil-A who didn't want to go on the record and talk about things. I've since tried to call the same young lady back that answered the phone on Monday. It goes straight to voicemail. And the guy that called me has completely disappeared. And Todd mentioned similar situations yesterday, and I had some sound here from Todd, clip one.
Chick-fil-A, since 2012, really has become the symbol of this cancel culture war, this idea that you are not allowed to have a belief system that runs contrary to the LGBT agenda. Millions of people have rallied around Chick-fil-A. They have been supporting and defending this company for years. And I think a lot of people saw this as an act of cowardice, you know, giving in, throwing in the towel. I posted a couple of things, and I'm not kidding you, about 20 minutes later, my phone is ringing, and it is a high-level executive at Chick-fil-A. And he wanted to talk off the record, and I said, well, you know, I'm comfortable with that so long as you're going to be candid with me. But I have to tell you, I was really disappointed in the lack of candor in that conversation. I don't think they understand why people are so upset.
There you go.
Yeah.
It is a public relations nightmare for them. They're great at making a sandwich. They're bad at doing
look,
PR.
Look, here's the bottom line. Chick-fil-A was being called a hate group. I'm laughing because it's so it is comical.
Yeah.
By the left and by the LGBT crowd.
They make chicken sandwiches.
I know.
They gave money to people
that
got
Christian
shot at a gay
they're
club.
A Christian, they had
right.
a Christian
food.
They had a Christian foundation of their company. So they gave money to Christian charities. Boy, that's a shock, isn't it? They decided they didn't like being called a hate group. So they were going to quit sponsoring groups that the LGBT said made them a hate group, namely the Salvation Army and Christian Fellowship of Christian Athletes, so that the gay and lesbian activists would get off their back. that's what happened.
Just,
that's
it's,
a, it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
And now they, you know, Mike Huckabee, who led the way for the Chick-fil-A day in 2012, he's ticked off.
Yeah, right.
And they won't respond to him. They didn't respond to his tweet. He's very high profile, so I don't even know if they know what to do. They're trying to play, they're taking actions. Chick-fil-A is to say, we agree with those who call the Salvation. Listen, I don't like to say this, but I'm just going to say it. What Chick-fil-A did they've taken actions that show that they side with those who call the Salvation Army and the Christian Fellowship, FCA hate groups.
Right.
Their Chick-fil-A's actions have said, we agree they are hate groups and we're not going to fund them anymore.
Yes.
Is that right?
That's exactly right.
How else do you get there?
Like I said, I think Monday or Tuesday, they're granting legitimacy to this false claim that if you support biblical marriage, that you're a hater.
And, you know, I don't buy that they're ever going to give money back to Salvation Army or FCA like they said they might, because here's why. People that were kind of paying attention to this will really pay attention to it now. And if they give them a penny, they're going to say, look, you said you weren't going to do this.
Yeah. Again, great respect for Franklin Graham. Obviously, he said he picked up the phone and called Dan Cathy. And Dan Cathy at Chick-fil-A, who's a chairman of the board?
He's the CEO.
Son of the founder, said, we're not changing anything.
That contradicts everything else they've done this week.
Yeah.
And everything else.
So Dan Cathy needs to have a press conference, as Ray said, today and get this all straightened out.
Or come on AFR.
Or come on AFR and talk to our 181 radio stations.
He's been on
right.
The other thing, well, he used to have a show on our network.
Okay.
Dan Cathy did, with somebody else, Don Hawkins, I think, late at night. But another thing they could do to clear this up, Chick-fil-A could, if what Dan Cathy told Frankie Graham is accurate, is they just need to say, they need to do a press release saying, like I said on Monday, all you do is you say, it has been widely reported that we have stopped funding Fellowship of Christian Athletes and the Salvation Army because they're hate groups. This is not true. These groups are not hate groups. We have great admiration for their work, and we will consider to fund them in the future. There you go. End of period, quotation, and then everybody would know it's not because of their mission statement.
Mm-hmm.
But short of that, then you're left with the interpretation that 99% of the people have out there.
You know, and for somebody to say, well, they want to expand their brand and be able to set up establishments in more liberal cities and things like that, here's why I don't think that argument holds water. Because if you guys remember, it's been maybe 2 years ago, if it's been that long, there was that, without a doubt, hit piece in The New Yorker called Chick-fil-A's Creepy Infiltration into New York City.
Mm-hmm.
The reporter that wrote that, or the author of that article, pointed out early on in the piece that it was estimated that a Chick-fil-A Manhattan location, sold a sandwich every 6 seconds. There are not enough conservative people in New York City to warrant selling a chicken sandwich every 6 seconds, which means liberals, the people who are out there bashing Chick-fil-A, are eating there.
Yeah, they're
making money hand over fist. Good for them.
Yeah.
Because they got a great product and a great company. I'm just saying, don't try to... Listen, don't try to tell me this isn't what it is. Okay, you want to say one thing to the world over here. Well, hey, we don't hate gay people. And on the other hand, you want to say, hey, we're defund, you know, Christians. We're not doing anything different over here.
Right.
Okay, All right, let's move on. We got a petition to Chick-fil-A asking them to reverse course. And you can go to see that at AFA on our Facebook page. Just go to today's issues Facebook, and you can see our petition there to Chick-fil-A asking them to reverse course, and hopefully they will, with people like Franklin Graham and Mike Huckabee and others. Tony Perkins, Family Research Council, wrote a pretty scathing piece yesterday. We put that on our Facebook page, too, which explains it all.
Mm-hmm.
So as Walker said, as Ray said, it's incumbent now on Dan Cathy to speak publicly on this, to say the same thing he said to Franklin Graham privately. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. All right, Washington, D.C., they're still having the impeachment hearings?
Yes, sir. Day 97,436. Yeah, it continues today. You've got a young lady named Fiona Hill and another gentleman testifying. You know, Republicans maintain that there's been nothing there. How much time do we have left in the segment, Brent?
4 minutes.
We got 4 minutes. Okay, well, let's do this. One of the things that people are really still talking about from yesterday's proceedings, you had a representative, Mike Turner, out of the great state of Ohio, that really hammered Ambassador Sondland. This is the ambassador that claimed yesterday there was a quid pro quo, this for that, in exchange for aid. Trump wanted it in an investigation of the Biden family, things of that sort. And Representative Turner, he didn't want to hear anything about it. Clip five.
After you testified, Chairman Schiff ran out and gave a press conference and said he gets to impeach the President of the United States because of your testimony. And if you pull up CNN today, right now, their banner says Sondland ties Trump to withholding aid. Is that your testimony today, Ambassador Sondland, that you have evidence that Donald Trump tied the investigation to the aid? Because I don't think you're saying that.
I've said repeatedly, Congressman, I was presuming. I also said that President Trump...
So no one told you. Not just the president. Giuliani didn't tell you. Mulvaney didn't tell you. Nobody... Pompeo didn't tell you. Nobody else on this planet told you that Donald Trump was tying aid to these investigations. Is that correct?
I think I already testified.
No, answer the question. Is it correct? No one on this planet told you that Donald Trump was tying this aid to the investigations? Because if your answer is yes, then the chairman's wrong and the headline on CNN is wrong. No one on this planet told you that President Trump was tying aid to investigations. Yes or no?
Yes.
So, you really have no testimony today that ties President Trump to a scheme to withhold aid from Ukraine in exchange for these investigations?
Other than my own presumption.
Which is nothing. I mean, that's what I don't understand. So you know what hearsay evidence is, Ambassador? Hearsay is when I testify what someone else told me. Do you know what made-up testimony is? Made-up testimony is when I just presume it. I mean, you're just assuming all of these things, and then you're giving them the evidence that they're running out and doing press conferences, and CNN's headline is saying that you're saying the President of the United States should be impeached because he tied aid to investigations, and you don't know that, correct?
I never said the President of the United States should be impeached.
Nope, but you did. You have left people with the confusing impression that you were giving testimony that you did not. You do not have any evidence that the President of the United States was tied to withholding aid from Ukraine in exchange for investigations. I yield back.
I presume that will be talked about a lot more today. For those that didn't catch it, he said if the answer is yes, then CNN is wrong. And he said yes, so CNN is wrong.
Yeah, that was really the linchpin, if you will, to this entire, which we knew from day one, this was all built on nothing, built on sand. But when you have the basically the person who's supposed to bring the president down, if you will, say that everything I'm telling you is based on my presumption, that just breaks apart every single argument and accusation by the Democrats that President Trump somehow did something wrong here. When Ambassador Sondland goes, everything's based on... You can't do that in court. A judge will dismiss you so quick if you go, well, I think that person robbed the bank. I was presuming that the person robbed the bank.
Well, we are. High crimes and misdemeanors, isn't that what we're getting to the bottom of?
That's what impeachment is supposed to be
right.
About.
Mm-hmm. And your star witness, this guy, the star witness?
One of the star witnesses.
One of the star witnesses says, I'm presuming... Huh?
Yeah.
That nobody told me?
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. All right. We will return in 3 or 4 minutes here with more of today's issues on American Family Radio. Tim Walker and Chris and Ray, and we thank you for listening to AFR. We shall return. Stay with us.
King of the Wild Frontier.
The music's free. I know we call it Learning University.
Of necessity.
Trivia Friday.
True.
Ding, ding, ding,
yes.
Ding, ding.
Oh, really?
That's correct. Giraffes do not have vocal cords.
So you want a cheeseburger without cheese.
Hold the... called the Jeep.
I said, yes, ma'am, whatever you call it.
Take a break with Tim Wildman and the gang. Friday mornings at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Our spiritual heritage tours are coming up in 2020 in June and September. I'm just going to go through the days here that and what we see. On Wednesday, we go out to dinner at Old Town Alexandria, and we go to the World War II Memorial. On Thursday, we go to the Capitol, the Library of Congress, the Supreme Court, the Lincoln Memorial, and the Korean and Vietnam Memorials. On Friday, we go to the Iwo Jima Memorial, Arlington National Cemetery, the White House, Jefferson Memorial, National Archives, and on Saturday, we go to Mount Vernon. Okay, so there you go. I got it all in. You can go and read about all this at our website, spiritualheritagetours.com. Spiritualheritagetours.com. That's our Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon tour in June, and then another one in September. And then we also go to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown on a separate trip. So go to the website, spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
For me, Truett means opportunities.
Truett means an adventure, place where I can grow and become more like Jesus.
This is somewhere I belong.
To me, Truett is like a home far away from home.
Everyone is family from all different walks of life and from all over the world.
To me, Truett means a second home.
Truett McConnell University is home for me.
Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and now you know why I love Truett McConnell University. Transgenderism is the ultimate war on women. In essence, society is being told to deny reality, to reject biology, and accept that your gender is based on feelings. At the heart of transgenderism is a belief that biological men make better women than biological women do. It's absurd, of course, but absurdity rules the day. Rachel McKinnon, a biological male, recently won a gold medal and set a women's world record at the 2019 Masters Track Cycling World Championships. Victoria Hood, who is in fact a woman, said it was unfair to let McKinnon compete with the ladies. She said he had an unfair advantage. McKinnon exploded in anger and accused Ms. Hood of being transphobic. He went on to say transphobia has no place in sport. Well, if I might be so bold, men have no place in women's sports. Read more at toddstarnes.com.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. If you would like to send us an email, here's the address, comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. I'm Tim with Walker and Chris and Ray. We thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Ray, you heard the clip we played there before the break from the impeachment.
Right.
Do you call
right.
them impeachment hearings? Is that what you call them, Chris?
Yes.
The inquiry mm-hmm. they're doing, yeah.
Inquiry.
He's got him dead to rights. Yeah. I mean, he just, this is sort of like a guy, there's all this brush and bramble, and here comes one man who with a bulldozer of truth just pushes away all the bushes and bramble and all the cover-up and gets down to the fact that Ambassador Sondland, it's all his presumption. That doesn't count in a court of law. It certainly shouldn't count for very much in an impeachment inquiry.
We need to get a T-shirt with like Ray's picture on it that says "Bulldozer of Truth." I'm going to use that.
You know. You can. It is reasonable to deduct a conclusion from actions taken by people. Where you go, you didn't see the act, but you go one and one is two, right?
Right.
So that's, you know, that happens every day in our own lives and also does happen, I'm sure, in a court of law. But you have a presumption of innocence in a court of law,
right.
if you want to call this a court of law. So I'm not saying that the ambassador is not entitled to what he thinks about what might have happened in some situation. That's really not the issue here. And right. I guess the gentleman who was questioning him, the congressman who's questioning him, that's his point as well. You don't have any proof of what I'm talking what he basically said was, you don't have any proof, Ambassador,
right,
of what you're being perceived as claiming to the world.
Yeah.
Right, Walker?
Yeah. Yeah, this is we're talking about impeachment here, which,
right,
as you said last week, this is like the death penalty,
yeah,
for a president being removed from office forcefully, or legally removed.
Taken out in cuffs if you have to.
Right. And to have an ambassador, which is supposed to be like this is the key witness, one of the key witnesses, mm-hmm, say that I have no evidence of any impeachable offense, and everything I'm telling you, I'm just presuming, I have no factual basis, no one told me this. That's it?
I know. To remove a duly elected president?
Yeah.
From office?
Right.
You know, they talk about a smoking gun. Would you guys agree there's been no smoking gun?
No.
Yet. At all.
Nothing.
And if this is it, if Sondland is it, if it's the smoking gun, then Mr. Trump is going to finish the week.
I'll tell you another thing, as we go forward in our American public life here with every future president, first of all, every president is going to be handcuffed, I guess, in the future, be he Democrat or Republican, with everything being on record. You can't have a private conversation with a foreign leader.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? So, about anything,
yeah,
I guess. And
yeah,
I'm all for transparency, but let's be honest. And whether it's a Democrat or a Republican, a president, a chief executive of this country, who is our commander-in-chief, needs to have some leeway with foreign leaders in private,
yes,
conversations, that not everything's broadcast to the world. And if you don't broadcast it to the world, you're hiding something.
Yeah.
All right? And again, I say that whether it's a Republican or a Democrat. And President Trump said as much a few months ago. He said, you can't do business this way. You can't operate with everything being scrutinized because everything's being leaked.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's in the public, right? So you can't operate like that. Certainly a president of the United States. I think it's this president because of the deep state and the leaks that are coming from people who are against him from the get-go, like we've all talked about here ad nauseum.
Yeah.
But yeah, to say, to have impeachment hearings on this, but based on about two or three minutes of a 30-minute call, of one call. The other thing I was going to say, now he did say, can you help us investigate the Bidens? Well, the Bidens, right, were the vice president, right? Vice president, and basically that's what the president was asking for. As part,
yes,
of, can you help us in any way? Because there was corruption. You know, the president and the AG felt like there was corruption going on between,
yes,
there and so.
And Biden had the prosecutor fired.
Well, Biden basically admitted to corruption, in my opinion.
He bragged about it.
Yes,
that's a difference.
He bragged about forcing the prosecutor to be fired because,
right,
the prosecutor was investigating,
yeah,
Hunter Biden.
And people laughed.
Oh,
and chuckled.
That's another thing here for the future for our country. Any president now, if you're going to be fair, if you're going to judge him by the way President Trump's being judged, is you're going to say to any president, if you withhold any money from any country with any condition tied to it, that's a quid pro quo.
Right. That and happens every,
huh,
day.
And you can't do that. Well, guess what? That, yes, that happens every day, all day. With and so from now on, you're going to say to a Democrat or a Republican president in the future, if we were scheduled to give money to, let's say, Angola,
mm-hmm,
and we call Angola up, our president does and says, you're going to have to do something, or you're not going to get this money. That's a quid pro quo.
That happens every day.
That's extortion.
Right. That happens.
Huh? Well, that's the definition they're laying out here.
I know.
For future presidents.
Yeah, which really brings us to the conclusion that there really is no such thing as a bad quid pro quo.
Yeah.
Quid pro quo has been turned into this bad word.
This is.
But there's conditionality. And even,
sure,
the ambassador said it. There's conditionality on every penny that leaves this country.
Unless you're Trump.
Yeah, right. Unless,
right,
you're Trump. But,
right,
under any other administration,
yeah,
you can put any kind of rules. You got to do this in order to get the foreign aid. We even do that. You even do that domestically, with all of our welfare programs. There's conditionality.
Yeah,
yeah.
With welfare, you have to have proof of no job.
Yeah. So, Would an investigation of Joe Biden and his son for corruption in the Ukraine potentially have benefited his opponents, be they the Democrat candidates running against him, that is Joe Biden, or down the road a run against President Trump? It might have. But guess what? Guess whose fault that would have been? Joe Biden's.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You can't not investigate somebody just because he's running for president. You understand what I'm saying here?
Right. Yeah.
Because the way it's framed by the Democrats or by the media is President Trump did this because Joe Biden was his political adversary. Well, Joe Biden hadn't even won the primary yet.
Right.
Okay. Right. So that's not that doesn't. If he would have won the primary, maybe you could make that connection more clear. Now, people say he's the presumptive nominee. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. After last night's performance and other performances he's had, but what you also would what you also would be arguing is, if you take the Democrats' approach, is you cannot investigate Joe Biden for any corruption because he's running for president. Therefore, he is exonerated from any investigation, because if he were to be found guilty of said corruption, it would therefore benefit his opponent, who is Donald
Trump. Where is that in the law or the Constitution?
Well, that's what they're saying.
Yeah, if you're running for public office, you can't be convicted of a crime.
Well, you can't be investigated right. Because it may benefit your opponent.
That didn't stop them from investigating Trump on no crime.
They really got little or nothing here. I say nothing to, certainly not to rise to the level of handcuffing Donald Trump and taking him out of the Oval Office, or impeachment, as it were, as it is. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. And we want to welcome Jan Markell to the program. She is the host of Understanding the Times radio program and the president and founder of Olive Tree Ministries, and her program airs on AFR Sundays at 1 p.m. Central Time and, Saturdays at 1 p.m. Central Time and Sundays at 12 or noon Central Time here on AFR. Jan, good morning to you.
Well, thank you for having me.
How are you today? How's the weather in, we always ask you this, in Minnesota? I know you're our weather girl there.
Well, we're tough up here. Well, we have to be. It's doing okay. We're doing fine right now.
Okay. Jan, Israel's been in the news.
Yeah.
We know you followed that closely. Chris, set this question up for Jan.
All right. So earlier this week, we had a big announcement from Secretary of State Mike Pompeo that the U.S. did not deem so-called Israeli settlements a violation of international law. As one might expect, members of the UN have kind of cried foul over this. But what do you make of this week's big announcement?
Well, Chris, it actually is a big announcement, and maybe some folks viewing it or listening to information about it. Just a real quick background here. Remember, the area in question, and sometimes it's called disputable territory, or it's called the West Bank, and the Bible, the territory that the Trump administration just got finished saying here in this current week is Judea and Samaria. And when we read our Bibles, we're reading about Judea and Samaria at all times. It's the most prominent area from which our Bible comes out of. So that's Judea and Samaria, and it goes by other names, and it's disputed and things like that. But again, the Trump administration has done what really no other administration would do in a number of areas, and this would be included. Remember, he's given his verbal okay to Israel to say that they own the Golan Heights, which they do because of the wars of 67 and 73. He's moved the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. This would be the third or fourth major declaration the Trump administration has made, and here I think is the difference. The difference would be previous State Departments have been run, particularly the last administration, Obama administration, by rather godless people who really have no affection for the Bible. Mike Pompeo is an evangelical Christian and came to the forefront here and said, look, this land belongs to Israel per the Bible, and we as an administration will acknowledge that. So that's where it's left, and what happens next remains to be seen.
Did Mike Pompeo cite the Bible?
I don't know that he cited the Bible, okay. But that's what's in his mind.
Yeah, I know he's...
He knows this is a biblical thing.
Yeah. But you're talking about building... settlements. Well, these are Jewish settlements that are being built on the West Bank or in land that theoretically could be a part of a two-part state, two-state solution in the future. And obviously, because I've seen the settlements myself when I've traveled over there, and Ray, you've seen them.
Right, we all have.
Yeah,
right.
Jan's seen them. So, but you know what? The bottom line is the land belongs to Israel today because they won it in a war. And
we can take that a step further, Tim, and say the land belongs to God. Leviticus 25, he says, this land is mine. But then he goes on to say that he's given it as a covenant to the descendants of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. My concern is, you know, the so-called Palestinians, who Newt Gingrich did rightly state are an invented people, are going to uprise over all of this. Hard to know at this point, but I don't believe they have yet, and that's encouraging.
They're Arabs. They're Arabs who trace their history to living in that Palestine or that part of the world.
Right. They're from Jordan. They're from Egypt. Yeah. They're from...
But there was no Palestinian state. There's never been a Palestine country that was invaded or anything like that. Okay.
No. People misunderstand. But I think we're 1 election away from that happening. I think if a Democrat gets in 2020, 2024, whatever, I think they will demand a Palestinian state in a nanosecond. I think Donald Trump is definitely going to hold back on that. He has unbelievable loyalty to Israel and Bibi Netanyahu, who also his term is now at risk because of conflict in Israel.
Jan, what's coming up on your show this weekend?
I'm going to do a paranormal update with Jo Martin Rishi, who's the daughter of Dr. Walter Martin. And 2-3 times a year, we warn your listeners in mind that they may be dabbling in some occult paranormal things and not even know it. And that's so dangerous. So we'll do that Saturday, Sunday on Understanding the Times.
All right. Thank you, Jan. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Bye now.
That's Jan Markell. Ray, what's she talking about? I guess I should ask Jan what she was in paranormal. She's talking about like getting in.
Well, we used to say in the old days, you know, the Ouija boards and all of that. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the paranormal means you're dabbling in something that has to do with spiritism. Evil spirits, the dark side, Satan himself. And since the Bible says Satan clothes himself or disguises himself as an angel of light, I think Jan's point is many well-meaning Christians may be dabbling in something that's from the dark side without really knowing it. And so we need people like Jan to warn us, to say, hey, pay attention to what you're listening to the music that's coming in, to the movies you're watching, to the games you're playing, to the video stuff you're doing, because some of it has real occultic connections.
So tune in to Jan's show this weekend. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Back to our newsman.
All right.
Chris Woodward.
Dun, dun, dun. All right.
Dun, dun, dun.
Jan mentioned we're one election away from people calling for a two-state solution or a so-called Palestinian state, things like that. There are, of course, a number of men and women that want to be the Democratic Party's presidential nominee, and they had a debate last night in Atlanta, Georgia. They did. It was kind of overshadowed by the umpteenth impeachment hearing, but they did have a gathering last night. 10 of 18 candidates for the Democratic Party's presidential nomination gathered to debate.
Are you
going to
tell us
again
all about it, Chris?
Well, I'm going to do this one story because people often ask, "What did Joe Biden say?"
Yeah,
and Joe Biden is in the headlines today. You know, people often talk about him being Gaff Joe or the Gaff machine, things like that. And Biden, when he was sharing his concerns,
I count on him to give us one. I'm disappointed if he doesn't.
Here's one good example. Okay. Last night, when talking about sharing his opinion that we need to do something to address domestic violence, Biden said we need to keep punching at the problem to address domestic violence. Clip 4.
Vice President Biden, The Me Too movement has forced a cultural reckoning around the issue of sexual violence and harassment against women in America. Are there specific actions that you would take early in your administration to address this problem?
No man has a right to raise a hand to a woman in anger other than in self-defense, and that's rarely ever occurs. And so we have to just change the culture, period, and keep punching at it and punching at it and punching at it.
Raise a hand at a woman, and we got to keep punching at it, punching at it, and punching at it. Yeah. If Trump did that, people would be apoplectic.
No, you're right. That's kind of picky right there. He didn't.
Just a poor choice of words.
Yeah, just a poor choice.
But it's the we've all done that,
right?
Huh? But yeah, that's
but,
true.
I mean, but he is a gaff machine, he is, guys, right?
And good one. I got it, but, huh?
Right.
I mean if you could give away,
he just misspoke. But yeah. This is just number 1,653 in the last 6 months.
This
but
is.
But I got to be honest. If you had a gaff Olympics,
right?
Am I right? He would be standing on the podium with the gold medal.
He would.
That's right.
He would. This is the same Joe Biden that back in 2008, I believe it was, told an Indian American man at a convenience store that you can't walk into a 7-Eleven in the state of Delaware without hearing an Indian accent.
Right.
That is a direct quote. I'm not making it up. It is still available on YouTube.
What? You know, I don't want to get down this. Something like that with Joe Biden, to me, I don't understand why that's offensive.
But well, maybe, for the political left, they would call it stereotyping.
Right.
And so for the political left and political correctness, for them it is offensive.
But, I mean, Indians own convenience stores all over America. That's and hotel chain and hotels. What by saying that's a fact,
right?
Why is that racist? I don't understand that. But now to the point is, the left says that kind of thing, what I've just said, is racist. Or to say you can't go into 7-Eleven without hearing an Indian, what do you call it?
Indian American
dialect? Or what, I don't know.
Yeah,
what,
Indian accent, I think is what it is.
To say that, the left would say, you see, you're stereotyping. So it's the left who makes that a racial comment, and you're saying that their own one of their own leaders, Joe Biden, violated their code.
Yes, if it were a Republican that said that, they'd be saying, oh, you're racist, you're stereotyping, you know, gas station owners.
I think business ownership stereotyping is a positive thing, right?
Yeah, if they're successful in owning businesses.
Indian Americans are doing well for themselves.
Yeah, right.
By buying up businesses.
Yeah, but the left is known for making something out of nothing.
I know.
And that's the case. Yeah. So.
But it's always funny when it comes to bite them.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Joe Biden's still leading the pack, right?
He's still doing well. Now, Pete Buttigieg, or Mayor Pete, he has surged in the polls. And according to some polls, Mayor Pete has actually been leading the pack. And, of course, a lot can happen between now and Iowa. But
I tell
even
you,
in Iowa,
they
Pete's
need
doing
a savior
well.
Right there. That bunch right there on stage last night is just not gonna get it to beat Donald Trump. And I will say this. President Trump has, you know, he's vulnerable. And if you had a good candidate to go, you know, because, I mean,
he's very unliked amongst Democrats, amongst the Democrats.
Yeah, and they need somebody to get out their base. I hope they don't find him or her. But, I mean, that parade last night, if that's the best they can do, I mean,
did you see anybody on that stage who can beat Trump next November? I did not.
No.
No, maybe that's why they're trying to impeach you.
I do think Donald Trump or President Trump needs to be on his game and be prepared for debates because
he will be.
Because I just think they're going to do the networks are the super PAC, right? Marco Rubio said as much in 2016.
Now, it'll be close because America's evenly divided, Republican, Democrat, pretty much. I mean, we've seen that since the Hanging Chads performed down in Florida.
It was almost 20 years ago at this point.
Yeah, since that time, we've been a pretty 50-50 country.
That was my first
so it'll, election. It'll be close no matter what, I think. Now, some people think President Trump's going to blow him out. And he may do so with the Electoral College. But I think the popular vote, again, will be very, very close. But if you had to handicap, to use a betting term, and I'm not a betting man, nor do we advocate that, but right. You would have to say that President Trump would be probably favored to win 60-40 right now against any of that group last night.
That's true.
Huh?
Well, just to kind of, I think, wrap it up and put a nice bow on this, if that's the correct term to use, Fox News contributor and former House Speaker.
I'm trying to help you, Chris. Yeah, I know.
Fox News contributor and former House Speaker Newt Gingrich, he was on Fox and Friends today, and he said the big loser from last night's debate was the Democratic Party. Clip 9.
The number one reality about these debates is they're boring. They're standard politicians saying standard things. And what made the Republican debates in 2016 so different was they were a reality show with Donald Trump, and people watched him because you didn't know what Trump was going to do.
Yep.
Trump didn't know what he was going to do. and they had a quality of being alive. But if you watch these folks, they're gone through their numbers. They're saying what they say. They've been coached. They've been consulted. They've been focus grouped. Combined with how boring the impeachments are, the Democrats are working very hard to become the boring party, and that's dangerous when you're up against a president who, has spent 13 years in reality television.
I heard some laughs there. What stood out to you,
Ray? What about Ray?
Well, look, by the way, I'm looking at the Drudge Report, and they've got the four of the front guys there. Picture. I'm looking at Bernie Sanders, and while Newt was talking, is it just me? Bernie seemed a lot more interesting 4 years ago than he does today. Now, maybe that's just my perception, but I listen to him talk, and he just seems like a...
more mild.
Yeah. I just don't see anybody who can come out of this pack to make a strong challenge, especially if the economy stays strong throughout the time of the election.
I do think that Joe Biden represents the best chance for the Democrats, and that's a long shot. Because of his name recognition, his ties to President Obama among many of the African-American voters, and especially because they're going to need a strong turnout from the African-American community, that is, whoever the Democrats select. And he's considered more a moderate. He's not a whacked-out socialist like these others are, the Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. So by comparison, he looks sane. Okay. Yeah. So you know what I'm saying?
True.
So he doesn't scare Wall Street or most Americans, Joe Biden. But his what we've all seen happen with him forgetting things and being slow to speak, slurred speech, the thoughts aren't coming as quick as, because he was one of the most quick-witted, articulate politicians we've seen in the last 30 years when he was on his game.
Yeah.
Talking about Joe Biden. He doesn't have that anymore, and that hurts him, especially if you're going to go up against President Trump. Whether you love President Trump or you hate him, the guy's full of personality. Mm-hmm. And if you're sitting over there and you're not, it's not going to look good on television.
Yeah. Well, talking about not looking good on television, the same night that President Trump was here in Tupelo, Mississippi, Biden was in Iowa, and we watched it a little bit on CNN just to see what he said, but the camera was too close in on him to where you couldn't make out that he was on a stage and he was walking around talking to people, and it looked like Biden was just walking in a circle ranting about President Trump.
All right.
Bless you.
Pardon me. Had to sneeze on live national radio. What do? You hit the sneeze button and hope it works. Did you hear me, Ray?
I did, although in Kansas City.
I think you were hearing it because Walker's and Chris's ear microphones. I put mine on mute so I didn't register a earthquake across the country there. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
We shall return with more of today's issues in 5 minutes after the news. Steve Jordahl is waiting in the wings.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.